Grace to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As was mentioned earlier, we'll be studying the Word of God from Colossians chapter 1. A couple summers back, I was just finishing up mowing the lawn, especially under the pines out in the front yard along Main Street. Mowing under there usually causes a small dust storm, and you can't escape having to take a shower a little bit later. While I was finishing up, a car pulled into the parking lot, slowed down as it approached, and came towards the parsonage yard. I waved and went over to talk with them. They had a number of questions about the church and service times, and then asked if I knew how they might get in touch with one of the pastors. Well, I said, "You can just keep talking if you want, and I'll be glad to answer any of your questions." They were slightly embarrassed to admit that they thought I was a maintenance person doing the yard work for the church. Covered in dust, wearing one of my old beater hats, and in blue jeans, I probably didn't present the usual picture of a pastor. Though I'm sure if I came out of that dust storm wearing a suit or my alb, they probably would have viewed that a little strange as well. And I will also admit that a number of times, while I am actually wearing my suit and I've been shopping, I've also had people come up to me and ask me for help, thinking that I'm one of the clerks. Clothes matter. How we wear them, where we wear them, in what situation we wear them, are all important. Unfair as it may seem, people will many times judge us by what we wear and how we wear it. And those judgments aren't necessarily just for how we wear our clothes, but also by how we wear our faith. That's what the Apostle Paul was teaching the Christians at Colossae, and also what we wish to focus on today. As we are encouraged to wear our faith well, to focus on our new life in Christ, and to focus on living our life for Him. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians, he was writing to a group of people who were fairly new to the Christian faith. They were new to the faith and yet had to remain in the pagan world that they lived in. It was not an easy life, even as we can all attest to that today. It's not easy living the life of a Christian when surrounded by so many un-Christian philosophies and lifestyles. It's very easy to actually revert back to old ways and old habits. There's not a very strong support system to help us keep to the straight and narrow. And Paul was inspired to teach these new Christians what they needed to know and what they needed to do. "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above," he said, "not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." Paul encourages the believers at Colossae to focus on what Christ had done for them, to focus on things above, where Christ rules with all power, might, and majesty, not on the things that surround us here on earth, not on the things that perish in time, but to focus in Christ. You are dead to sin and alive for righteousness. The difference between remaining focused and not being focused is easily seen in cases of inattentive driving. As the driver of the vehicle, you have to remain focused on the task at hand, driving the car. You can't be distracted by texting, talking on the phone, or viewing all the activities on the sidewalk. Your life and the life of others is dependent on you remaining focused. Your life as a child of God is dependent on you remaining focused on following the Savior. Remembering your baptism when you died to sin, but were made alive in Christ Jesus. Remembering what Christ has done for you. And with that motivation, knowing that to follow Him is all you will ever want to do. Paul comments that the reward for such a life in Christ is not always one readily seen. No, he referred to it as your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Hidden from the eyes of the unbelieving world, which may question, why do you live like you live? Hidden from the philosophy of what's in it for me? Hidden from the selfish ambitions of those who would believe that all of life revolves around them and their wants and pleasures. Paul wrote, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So we see that to wear your faith well is to focus on your life in Christ, what he has done, paying the full cost for your sin, why he did it, out of pure grace, mercy, and love for you. So that as Paul wrote, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Nothing this world has to offer can offer you that. None of the earthly things sought after by so many and always considered to be so important can come close to matching the blessings of your life in Christ. Wear your faith well. Put away your old self, put on the new self, and focus on living your life for him. With that focus on their hearts, teacher Paul now makes the practical application for the Colossians and for Christians of all time. He wrote again, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips, lies to one another. Take off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Now, that's a fairly long list, isn't it? It's not exhaustive, however, nor a checklist to mark as you do everything to please God. The listing is a practical application of how you wear your faith well. He said, first of all, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Putting to death would be to totally, completely rid yourself of this. One commentator defined it this way: get rid of sexual immorality, which includes any type of sexual activity outside of marriage. Impurity, which includes the thoughts and intentions of the heart, which lead to outward sinful actions. Lust and evil desires, referring to those things God has specifically forbidden. And greed, which summarizes all sins, really, since every sin is really the highest form of selfishness. For every sin involves the desire to have something God himself has not given, to do something for oneself that God has not done, to live according to one's own ideas of what is right instead of according to what God has commanded. Every sin is a worship of self rather than a worship of God. Every sin revolves around the substitution of what I want for what God wants. Every sin brings about the wrath of God. Sin is not to be taken lightly, not to be excused. It's to be put to death, because that was our way of life before Jesus came in and took us from death to life. The old way of life is to be thrown away. Let me offer just a brief illustration of a true story. My mother grew up greatly influenced by the Great Depression. Nothing could be thrown away if there was a potential for some use down the road. Many items were saved for good, even though many times good never showed up. One Christmas, she was gifted with a brand new robe. Her old one was tattered and threadbare. She was grateful for the new robe and was very pleased by the gift. However, one day, the person who gave her the new robe, and I insert at this time, neither I nor my wife were the givers, visited, and Mom showed up wearing the old robe. The giver was offended that she wasn't wearing the new one. Admittedly, the giver did not fully understand my mother's background, but was still quite offended. And I'm not sure if gifts were ever received from the giver again. Expectations were simple enough. Get rid of the old robe and wear the new one. And such are the expectations of those who have the new robe of righteousness from Jesus. Get rid of the old way of life. Put on the new. You used to walk in these ways, Paul said, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things. Paul tells the congregation in Colossae and in Thiensville and Mequon exactly what to do. Get rid of the old. To which he now added, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here Paul presented a second list of sins dealing with, well, a person's relationship with others. While anger is not a sin in itself, this refers to the kind of anger that burns within and grows into hatred that will not let go. Rage is uncontrolled anger, which, directed against another person, leads to physical or emotional harm. Malice, the desire to harm another person or to see him harmed. Slander, which is harming someone by speaking lies about him. Filthy language. It's not just about cursing or swearing or sexually explicit words, but can also abuse or hurt someone. Lying, which is any talk which does not speak the truth in love. We look at this list and probably have any number of people in mind to whom they apply. But do we look in the mirror and see them tattooed on us as well? If a censor would follow us around, how often would we be bleeped during the day? How often would our thoughts need to be washed clean? That was the old way. To the glory of our Savior, wear your faith well. For the sake of those who are watching, wear your faith well. For as Paul concludes this section, he's reminding his readers that here there is no discrimination in God's love. Christ is all and is in all. Set your mind on things above, he says, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Those are the facts for us today as we nurture and strengthen our faith for daily living. Your life is in Christ, where your faith is as well. Wear your faith well. Amen. And may the peace that comes to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ ever keep your hearts and minds in true faith till we stand with glory in Jesus' presence. Amen.